Welcome. It is 5:32 on Monday, October 2nd, 2023. Welcome to the Mount Clover Township Board of Trustees regular scheduled meeting. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, everybody. We have our regularly first meeting of the month. We do not have departmental reports, but were there any additions or corrections to the minutes as submitted by our fiscal officer for September 18th?
I don't have any.
All right. I'll make a motion to accept as submitted.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery. On the motion, Vickery?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes. All right, then our fiscal officer has submitted bills.
Hold on one second, Chuck. I didn't get to talk in there. I want you to pass the increase in appropriations before you pay the bills.
Okay.
So you can hold for my report, or I guess there's no correspondence
here.
Anyway.
You want to make it easy?
I move to increase appropriations in account 100760730 Quasar Improvement in Sites. By $750,000. This is for a 2023 OPWC road project.
Second.
Seconded by Lang. On the motion, Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
All right. And then going back to the bills. We have bills totaling $997,635.94. I'll make a motion to pay as submitted.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery. On the motion, Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
All right. Do we have any correspondence?
You tell them, maybe the audience, why it's so big this year?
The biggest chunk of that Bowers asphalt, $758,000 for one of our paving projects for the summer. So we usually don't have $1 million payables every 2 weeks.
There is no correspondence.
All right. Any other action items for the fiscal officer?
No other action items.
All right. Under old business, for legal counsel, we have continued to make progress on our residential TIF. Harold is going to talk about park improvements and administration updates in his report. And Eric, do you want to tell us what you're doing with the 20-lay overlay updates?
Sure. I sent the board my proposed updates as well as a resolution that you can pass if you so choose tonight. And basically what I did was a lot of these updates were already in our architectural review section that Springfield did to their overlay, but some of them weren't. And so that's where I say, like, add to excluded uses, add as new language. And so basically I took all the new items in theirs and added them to ours if I thought it was applicable, which was most of it. So
yeah, so the adding the lighting standards, I think that's a good improvement. Decreasing the light pollution. I know we had concerns with that on the Andersons, and just from an aesthetic value on the building materials as well.
Eric, can you explain the process if we approve the resolution tonight?
So the process will be, it'll go down to the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission staff will write a report. Then it'll go on the agenda.
Explain the report. It will have additions, deletions.
Comments.
Why it's good, why it would be bad. They would either then approve or disapprove of these additions.
Yeah, they would recommend approval or disapproval. And then it goes to the planning commissioners, who would then have a public hearing, make a recommendation to approve or disapprove. Then it gets sent back to our zoning commission, who would then review it, make any changes if they so saw fit, make a recommendation to approve or disapprove, and then it would go to the Board of Trustees.
And we can make additions, deletions, and finally approve or disapprove.
That's correct.
We've probably disapproved something we've sent down before, knowing us.
I'm sure sometime in the past,
In the meantime, you'll continue to look at overlay districts and where ours can be improved.
Yes.
So that when it gets to our zoning commission, if there are things you find, you will add them.
I will.
Great. I'm happy to make that resolution, but my computer has died, so go ahead, Trudy. Is it in front of you right there? Go ahead, make it. Do you need me to?
I move to approve resolution 100-22023-01, resolution for the initiation of an amendment to the Nyclova Township zoning resolution.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion. Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Vickery?
Both of our computers are bad.
It's my own fault. I wasn't charged, and I don't work out of paper any longer, so.
Well, I didn't think I printed my paper. Oh, Harold's sharing his with me.
Did you?
I second it.
Oh, okay. I think Gavin was calling a roll.
Oh, sorry, Gavin. Barbara's
no. Did I miss?
Waiting for you.
No, start with Vickery.
Yes.
Thank you. All right.
Well, Barbara kind of said my computer died and it just threw me totally off.
All right,
wait,
then.
Did I call the whole roll?
I didn't think so. But Chuck said he did.
Right,
so
okay.
I went with Chuck.
All right. On the motion, Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Right.
I seconded.
We got seconded.
Thank you, Cam.
I couldn't remember where I stopped.
Sorry, Trudy and I will not speak with each other further.
All right, we have an appointment on our JED 1 board. Kathleen, whose term was up again?
Mr. Sika.
Okay. Ed Sika. And we've had a couple applications, and we discussed them informally during the working session, and I think we're comfortable moving forward with the appointment of Ryan Bauming and if he is willing to serve. I know he applied for the Zoning Commission and BZA, but if he's willing to sit on this board, I think this board is comfortable moving forward with his nomination.
In case you guys don't know who Ryan Bauman, he owns Carnick up on Block Road. He is a businessman, and he's lived in the Nyclova Township for numerous years.
It would be a great addition to the JED's board, so I make a motion to appoint Ryan Bauman pending his acceptance to the JED 1 for the full term.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery. On the motion, Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes. Now, who's going to follow up with Ryan? Is that you, Kathleen, Harold? Do you want one of the board members to do it?
I can call him. He takes care of my dog.
We also thought that anyone who has an application older than a year or 18 months, some number in that fairly recent, needs to be removed from that list. We'd like a list of all the boards and their appointees and terms put in Dropbox. And we're going to do a better job as a board recruiting applications.
All right, any other old business items? All right, under new business items, we had a commercial zoning rechange on Strayer Road and one that needs to be refreshed, but we need to establish a public hearing to amend the Toledo Express Airport JED contract and set a public hearing for November 6, 2023 regarding. And I'll make this in the form of a motion.
A resolution.
Resolution.
Yep. That's the number.
100-32023-02, establishing a public hearing for November 6, 2023 at 5:30 to receive testimony regarding amending the Toledo Express Airport Joint Economic District contract for the purpose of adding territory to the district.
Second.
Seconded by Lang. On the motion, Lang?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes. All right. Any other new business before the board tonight? All right. Harold, you have a couple of items.
I do. In August, Mr. Holland expressed a desire for conversation regarding additional staff in the maintenance department. He was asked to put together a business case dealing the need, and he has done that. Doug and I have reviewed it, and so we are making a recommendation this evening to approve the addition of one road maintenance worker. Doug is here to answer any questions or discuss this with you.
You did a nice job, Doug, on answering Trustee Herschel's questions of why you felt there was a need for this. Looks like you put in a lot of time stating different projects that need to be done and brought up to speed in the Monclova Township. We're getting bigger, more roads are being plowed, more roads are being added, and the report hit all the highlights that Trustee Herschel was asking for.
Just, I guess, a question, Doug, and I know we did this with David. He didn't have a CDL at the time or whatever, and I forget all the different classifications. We put desirable but not required, but then put that in the terms of if we move forward with the terms that he gave him, was it 6 months, Sarah?
I would change that. My recommendation would be wait till the spring if they have a Class B. So if you look at Indeed or what jobs are available, if you put in a Class A, Harold and I talked about this, if you do a Class A, you're going to lose a lot of candidates because of the price of hire that we're paying versus what you can get with a Class A someplace else. Do you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we had discussed about not making that mandatory to get hired. With lease season approaching us, right, probably right after our open house, to get them into a class and into a Class A, probably not likely time frame wise. So I would say you let them ride until leaf season's over. If they have a Class B and they can plow after snow season's over, then we send them to school. So that's going to be past your 60-day mark. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So that is a requirement in the union contract, and off the top of my head, I can't tell you if there's a time frame on it, but it is a requirement. I don't remember what the...
There's no date on it. There's nothing that stipulates. I have it here if you want to read it.
So there's no time specified as no. Just that they have to have acquire it.
Otherwise, David never would have got hired.
That's true. Because he did not have it when he was hired.
No. And I have EJ doing some things looking at weight classifications. Do they even need a Class A based on what we're doing and what's that information based on? So and I don't speak wrong, but I believe it's 23,000 pounds you can tow with a Class B. Outside of that, you need a Class A. So if we're under 23,000 pounds, then technically we would need a Class A. So until I get some real measurements and some real data, I won't know that answer.
So that's probably something that should be discussed, though, even though coming up into the union contracts here shortly.
Yes.
There's some tweaks that need to be done.
Yes.
You know, and some of this is what I'm going to get into the second subject here, and I don't want to get off topic here. You know, recommended subcontracting some tree service out. I understand we're behind a little bit.
Not a little, a lot. Not to correct you, but I would love for you to come down to my office and go for a ride. It's bad.
Well, I drive through Waterside to see my mother twice or three times a week, so I have been through all the other neighborhoods, but and that's only one side of Waterside. So but some of this, I guess, thinking, you know, with this, hypothetically speaking, we don't subcontract the trees. We have this additional person. We're fully staffed. Does this person help us get caught up? Does it take 3 months, 6 months, 9 months?
So, to speak openly, if we subcontracted the trees, you're talking 3 weeks of them coming in with two crews. I don't know if you have a copy of the layout of it. It's basically 12 guys, and they can do everything that we need them.
that I've showed you, right, in less than 2 weeks. If we did that, you have to realize that in that, there's still the normal maintenance. There's a, and we don't start leaves until leaves are dropped. So we don't cut trees until we're done with leaves. So now it's changed our season when we can actually start trimming trees and dedicate tree trimming, right? Well, in that, you still have snow plowing. So once you start adding all those things in, that those dates on paper really look good until life happens, and then it doesn't happen. And then we're back to where we are today. And truthfully, if you go back to all the bid sheets, which I did over the last 4 years, you look at how much tree trimming was done versus what was scheduled, didn't happen. So this thing is just growing like this, and it's coming to a point where it's impassable, right? So hiring one person doesn't fix a tree trimming. It's not like one or the other. Like, I don't want you to think of it that way, because it's not. One person isn't like, oh, we're going to save the day with one person. It doesn't happen. Just to stay on top of normal duty stuff, we need a person just for that. It's all I can do to get the normal maintenance things done. So if we add a project, if we add trees, that just puts everything else behind. And that's, so to say one person would fix tree trimming, it's not going to fix things. You have to have a minimum of three guys cutting trees. One guy cutting, one guy dragging, two guys dragging. Typically, when I seen you out in your neighborhood, there was four of us, and I was the fifth man. And the reason why was because we can get through it a lot faster. So I don't know if I'm answering your question. I'm trying to paint a picture of what's reality, not what you think you're hearing or what you want to hear. That's reality. Reality is, if we run the same thing that we're doing today, 5 years from now, I don't care if you're sitting in my seat or not, my clove is going to be a mess. Every time there's a windstorm, we're picking up trees because of the Brad prepares, because they're so overgrown. It's not anybody's fault. That's a reality.
Yeah, it almost seems like we shouldn't trim them. We should cut them down.
Yeah. I mean, Matt and Scott, are we scraping trees going through the neighborhoods when you run the ambulance or the trucks?
Well, there's usually enough clearance on the streets for us to get around, but, I mean, there are some.
I mean, you're riding down the middle, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody gets out of your way.
Hopefully.
Big truck.
Sometimes.
Lights and sirens.
So what I heard from this discussion is that it's a priority for our maintenance department to trim the trees in Montecoma Township, and for a variety of reasons. But one of them is to make our residents completely satisfied, because that's what they're somewhat familiar with, right? It's not about stop signs or street signs or safety. It's more about, this is what we're used to, so this is what we do. And Chuck mentioned in the working session that we have 12 more miles of roads than we did in 2008 or some number like that.
Yeah.
So with those 12 miles of roads, we probably got a few trees on those 12 miles of roads too. So trees is something that requires a maintenance worker. And I appreciate the time you put into the business plan, though I didn't find it to be much of a business plan. What I saw was you did 308 hours of overtime, and I think it's, thank you, Kathleen, for giving this to me, because it would have been a bummer to try to talk without it. 215 of that is leaves. So the other thing we do a ton of is leaves, and it's super important for us to pick up those leaves. And we don't do it like Toledo does, where we just sweep once and you're done. We do it all the time.
Well, to back up, though, too, he mentioned there's 12 guys with two crews working 3 weeks straight. And the thing is,
we're back to trees.
Yeah, we're back to trees again, because we didn't finish that conversation. And if you look how many hours that 12 crews, and the thing is if you have to trim a tree almost at a certain time. And am I wrong, Doug? I mean,
no. And those hours, those overtime hours.
Wrong? Total hour of overtime hours.
No, I don't think those are accurate.
Okay.
And I don't. And the reason why I don't think they're accurate is because the way hours have been tracked from my office. So
okay.
I don't know how much, I don't know that data is correct. It's what I have, but I don't feel
it's
like it's correct. Based on what I'm seeing, based on leaves and trees, it doesn't make sense, because I know what I've put in trees since I've been here in 8 months. So that doesn't make sense to me.
I think what you were saying to me is more of the business plan I was expecting, right? That it takes five people 40 hours to do one neighborhood. And that means if I could send two off, we could maintain, you know, more of a. So what I learned from your report, and I'm going back to, I'm leaving trees now. I have plenty to say about trees, but I'm going back to worker. that your business case is we could reduce the 308 hours of overtime. We could make sure the employees get vacation and not leave us unstaffed. And I think unstaffed means winter drivers have to be here. And if we were short a driver for a week in February and we had a snowstorm, the township roads couldn't get cleaned in the same way they get cleaned now. So if it took us 24 hours to clean all the roads with one less person, it would take us 8 hours less or 8 hours more or something like that. So I'm just trying to decipher from this what you gave us. You also said that the cemetery has grown so much that instead of 30 hours of cement pouring, you do 300 hours of cement pouring.
300 hours.
And the growth of the park requires lots of calls.
They need a full-time person at the pickleball court.
So, go ahead, let's back up to the staffing thing. So, can we break all that down one by one?
This is what I see the business case for the person is.
Okay, so.
And everybody wants me to make a decision on a person tonight, so I'm trying to understand why I would do that.
So, if you look at the hours of people that have available vacation hours they have, if you look at that little, there's three guys that have 5 weeks off.
Yeah.
So, with what they're directed about wintertime and leave time, that puts those guys in summertime vacation, so there's overlapping. Now, per the contract, it says I only have to let one person off.
Right.
Okay, they're going to have a lot of leftover vacation hours that they're going to lose.
That's why it's there, business case.
Right.
With a total of 21 weeks of vacation, this leaves potential service gaps for summer.
So that's the summer side of it. Well,
or they take it in the winter and we call them back.
Right. So how does that... I think you guys know my feeling about calling people back when they're in Florida.
Oh.
Right.
Can't do that.
Right. So... the service gap alone is an issue in the summer. Then if we put an injury in like we have right now, that makes that pool even smaller. So that's just to maintain what we're doing, and we're not maintaining. That's the problem.
We last hired in 2008, according to Harold's report, I think. And within 8 months, you've come, maybe it's 9 months now, Doug. Let's just say you've been here a year. You've been really close at least for a year. You come with this request. So you got a lay of the land and you figured out, hey, another person is going to solve. That's where I have the issue. I'm not sure what they're solving because we still need to hire some contract services like trees to get ourselves up to speed. But those trees aren't going away, so we're never probably going to be up to speed.
If those trees were done in the previous years, we wouldn't be in the situation we are today.
Maybe not as badly, right?
Correct. So now it's gotten to the point where it is bad.
We spent 3 weeks in estuary last year, since I've been here. Estuary and waterside. And if you go to waterside, you tell me how much has been cut.
And they're all Bradford pears, aren't they?
Almost all.
Right, really, that's the problem. I think we should just hire somebody to take out all our Bradford pears.
$75 a tree is what Steve quoted us. So if you do the labor hours on our time, we're well above it.
$500 Bradford pears in Waterside.
Yeah, but like he says, $75 a tree,
saying,
they put
like,
three or four maintenance guys at the same rate. They're doing it cheaper and getting it done all in one crack and doing it.
If we took out all the pear trees, we're going to ask the residents to...
Right. I know, it's just a big...
I can
it's funny how a landscape decision can make.
Yeah.
There's 472 trees that need to be trimmed in Waterside. 15 removals and 8 stumps. Stump things wrong because most of them are gone at this point, so there'll be 15 new stumps with those tree removals. You with me? That's what Steve quoted. So if you just looked at, you're the math guy, 472 times 75...
$122,700.
Reminder popped up. I had to click out.
If you take 472 trees times $75, that's what Steve would be charging us. So if you put four guys in those same 472 trees, where are we at? And that should be, that's the simple math of, is it cost effective or not? And you're going to go, well, we're paying those guys hourly anyhow. Yes, we are, but we're also not getting other things done. And that's my thing. So there's a difference of maintenance in total disarray, and I think there's bubbles in this township where we're in total disarray, and some people might disagree, but if you looked at what they trimmed 5 years ago on Waterside, and I'll use the words that those guys use in the shop, as suckers, it's all these little stems that come off the side of the trunks. Are you guys familiar where all the weight is? Those were all gone at one time. They're all back. Well, with that, everything else got bigger. So that's why these trees are just snapping left and right. Do I think we should get rid of them? That'd be awesome. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, but to clear out 472 trees isn't practical at all.
And that's only the bad ones. That's not all of them. So does the one person fix trees? No. The short answer is no. Does the one person fix overtime? No. Does the one person help in the grand scheme, in the bigger picture of all this, the 30,000-foot view? Does it make life a lot simpler in a lot of ways? Yes, and it does. So how does it do that, Doug? Well, for instance, if you look at my staff that's working like today, I can take that group and change it just a little bit, even with the current bid sheet, and I can put two guys and myself on trees. Today, I can't do that because I don't have a third person to do it. Now, will that make grass cutting go into Thursday instead of Wednesday? It will. But that might catch me up on the maintenance side of things. Not necessarily not to catch up as far as getting rid of Waterside and all those other neighborhoods, but the normal stuff that we should be doing that we're not doing. The basin work that should be going on that doesn't happen. And everyone says, well, I don't say everyone. We get a list of basins that need to be repaired. If they're in total disarray, the county takes care of it. They give us a list to be repaired. Well, there's no window on that saying, hey, it's going to be bad tomorrow, or you got some time. Well, what is time? 6 months, 2 years, or 3 years? If we don't touch them, it's 5 years. And guess what? Now we're replacing basins. And I don't have the staff to make that happen right now. Like, I'm literally robbing Peter to pay Paul every day of the week. And it's juggling. He goes, oh, you've only been here 7 months. Well, Ken Booker brought this up 5 years ago to add staff. Now, maybe not to the board, maybe to you, I don't know. But I found paperwork where Ken Booker asked for the same thing. I'm not asking for it because Ken Booker asked for it. I'm asking because it makes sense. 2008, the township's grown. We haven't caught up. And you're like, oh, you got new toys, you got all these trucks. That's great. But if I don't have bodies to run those trucks and toys, it does us no good.
Yes, and while you're mentioning trucks, I don't mean to interrupt you here, but I'm looking at the services of everybody. So, for example, you know, looking at this list, I see, you know, Todd is the only commercial applicator. You know, we got a couple of guys are tanker and double, triple axle drivers. You know, is there an opportunity for us potentially with the addition of another person that we could say, okay, we want to send somebody to, other than Todd, be a commercial applicator?
I want to
send them to OSU Extension or wherever they get that certification so that we have cross training and backup for the other positions.
So, my thought process on that is to take two people to that class. If you look at years of service, that particular person has 5 years and they can leave, right? Well, in 5 years, where does that put us? I don't want to start in 5 years finding the applicator guy. I want the applicator guy now to understand this process that's happening today. So when he steps in that position down the road, it's already understood. I don't want to train after the fact. So I think, one, I should probably have that license so he can work under my license if need be. Two, I think the next person that takes it, whether it's a David or a whoever, or if we added a position, that person, whoever that is, so we would have more than just one person, because if that person's out sick, how do we apply what we need to apply? We can't, because we wouldn't have no license under it. That's why I would go as well. So I'm thinking two for that. And actually, I paperwork on the next class in my office.
With the experience level that we have with our staff, I mean, are these folks willing to, hey, you know what? I plan on being here another 10 years. That's something else I would like to be certified in.
So with that, I sat down with everybody and asked anybody else if they wanted to do that, and the answer was a solid no. Nobody wants to touch chemicals that's in our shop except for the one that has it now. So the other one that was kind of interested, I don't know how long they're going to be here. So that doesn't make sense to send him to an applicator school if he's going to be gone in a month or six.
Would you want to
Absolutely.
Go to that class?
Yes.
So we could get you scheduled. You would have the license, and then you can instruct underneath you as far as...
A lot of places will have someone with an applicator license, and other people will work underneath that license.
Okay.
Until I have that class, I don't even know if that's legal.
So you need to take that class.
Yes, along with somebody else eventually.
Ken Booker did have a license.
He did.
Yes, he did. And to my knowledge, I don't think he ever did any. Because Todd's always been able to
manage him. So can we go back to the tree trimming? Because this seems to be really a joint conversation.
Sure.
And I think there's lots of conversations here, and we are in the process of a strategic plan. And, you know, is it important that our trees get trimmed as they've been trimmed? That's a question, you know, it would fall under some portion of that strategic plan. Is that really something we should put our priority little
heads into? Are trees supposed to be trimmed during the winter?
Yeah,
lots of them are.
So our strategic planning now has been put off probably at least for 6 or 7 more months.
Yeah.
So it's nice to say put stuff in our strategic planning, but there's a time and a place.
You're arguing with me, and I don't even have anything that I haven't even gotten anything.
No, I'm going to borrow your own language, Barbara, that your desire to provide Disney-esque, for lack of a better
service.
Yes. Service.
But in the future, that might change. But right now, that's what I was trying to say, but right now, we trim the trees like we always trim the trees, which I guess hasn't been too good, but we thought it was too good. So,
well, we've been falling behind on that.
I think that the tree trimming is important to get done, especially in Waterside, and especially with those trees that are going to fall down, right? So Estuary here already took care of where the majority of pears are, and now this, and can we come up with a better plan, much like Eric adding to the overlay district? Maybe while Doug has the opportunity to think, he can come up with a better plan. I think that we absolutely need to hire the contract labor. I thought that bid... Don't know if it's out of range or not, so I would like to see other bids in addition to it. So,
well,
yeah, I'm glad you know it, Trudy, but
yeah, I know we've used them in the service. Doug, have we talked to anybody else?
As far as the big project, no. So I based that off of a few things. One, I used two other companies to grind stumps, and their prices were much higher. So if I just base it on stumps, and we've used all three companies for the same service.
You like Steve's. I just would want to see other quotes on that. The way it's wrapped up in a nice package makes sense to me. 2 weeks, 3 people, you're taking his whole company away, he's got to make money, I got it. I just think that's an important part of the process.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for us to feel comfortable, at least... You know, it wouldn't hurt to have at least two more quotes from other services. You know, this is just tree trimming, helping us get caught up. I mean, it's an unbudgeted expense additionally, too. So not that we can't find money in the budget to do it, move some things around, but it is an unbudgeted expense of $40,000. I'm not saying we don't need it. Like I said,
I just had 3 trees taken down. It was $12,000 just to take 3 trees. They're large.
Yeah.
That was just $12,000 to take 3 trees down, large trees in my backyard. They're looking at $40,000 to trim 400 and some trees.
When I have a lot of trees in my house. I get them trimmed every year. I've used Steve's tree before. I've used 2 other vendors before. And I try not to make it a practice, even in my house that isn't a $40,000 a year job, of having one person do it. That's just me. $40,000 is a big dollar amount, and if you have someone else come in, you're either reassuring it, that's a great price, or whoa, there was something else we could do. They might have a different plan. Like, there's a whole bunch of things that come about from having more than one bid. If it was $3,000, I'd be like, maybe not as much, but $40,000 is a pretty big number, and I know it's not required underneath the Ohio Revised Code, but I'm just telling you, when people ask me what I do in my job, I say I try to make sure I spend money the same way in government I would on myself or my business. And at $40,000, I don't know one job I would do at my business without at least talking to someone else, and maybe he has and we just don't have it. My house, not a chance. So that's how I look after dollars, is I try and run it the same exact way.
I've done the same thing on tree trimming. I've used two or three different ones, and I'm just going to say, one guy I hired left all the stumps, left all the shavings, left everything. And I'm just saying, if you're going to get a second bid, make sure you compare the apples to apples, because Steve's will come through and you'll never know they're even there.
And maybe Steve would be more willing to do it for $50 a tree if he didn't have to do it in 2 weeks. And there's nothing that says we have to do this in 2 weeks.
No, and this doesn't have to be answered today.
No, and that's, I agree with Gavin, because I had one of my trees trimmed at the local tree company. It was, you know, $240. So, I mean, versus $70 a tree. I mean, they chipped everything, hauled everything away, and raked the shaves, and did a nice job. But I think just for me,
peace of mind, you want two more quotes?
Or Steve to
say,
here's how I could do it if I spread it over 3 months, or if I filled in every day for an hour, or I don't know. So
I guess my other question is, with the Bradford pears generally not dropping their leaves until December, I mean, can he do a decent job on those by not seeing all the branches, wait till the branches are down, or are you thinking...
I wouldn't question his ability of trimming trees based on that's his job. You know what I mean? Like, I needed one cut in the middle of June, I wouldn't be like, oh, wait, with him, I'm not concerned. He's done work for me at my house. He's done work in Springfield. I know his business. I don't know him personally. I know he does a good job, and I know when he leaves, it's clean. I also know that we like Disney like service. I've had other companies that we know those people, and you all know them, and the service at the end of the day is not the same. And I'm not trying to back what she says, what Tree says, but I understand what she's saying, and that's why I went with Steve, because I know what the end game is usually a lot nicer. However, I will be more than happy to, I know a couple other guys we can call and get some prices, and you can say, hey, look, this is where we're at. This is what's good or what's bad.
Okay.
I get it.
No, bring that back to us, or give that to Harold and bring that back to our next meeting. Well, you'll be here for the department report. If they can turn that in 2 weeks. And
did it in 3 days, so yeah, I would think that they could do that.
And is there some reason the 2 weeks is of utmost importance?
No. Just if you wanted that information, I'll do everything I can to get it for you for the next meeting. But
No. If the tree trimmer has more ability to offer a better price, if it's not done in 2 weeks with his...
No, that's what he gave me. I didn't put any parameters on it. I'm like, you let me know when you can do it and when you can get there.
Okay.
Then back to the issue of the staffing. Like I said, in my... I just think of the growth that the township has experienced in the last... you look at the census, I think 5,000 people in the last year, 10 years, 10 miles, or 12 miles of roads, additional more trees, more ball diamonds, more parks, amenities, with the same staff. You know, we have prided ourselves on being lean and mean, I think as all government should be, but, you know, is our service level dropping where we're falling behind on things? That catch bases aren't being repaired. You know, the trees we're going to get caught up on here, but are there other things just to the, and the township is continued growing. Somebody, one of the title companies said that one third of all the new houses were in Marklovo last year. So I took that at face value, but in Lucas County.
I'm not happy with the process, Chuck. I would have, when we hired Doug, would have wanted that process to go differently. I am still not sure we have that right, and I think there are other positions we might want to fill, and so I'm not sure that I'm happy with the process, but as Doug sits here and talks, and you see 24 years of service, 23 years of service, 21 years of service, and you want your township to be prepared, I'm not going to disagree that hiring somebody might be feasible. I just I'm not sure this is the best plan, and that's what's holding me back.
Well, and I'll ask a question to you then, Doug. With if we move forward with additional one person, are there other things that you could be doing as far as researching grant opportunities, meeting with whomever, somebody from Soil and Water?
So this right here, these are all the policies and all the changes I've been trying to make over the last 8 months. And I'm doing that an hour here, 15 minutes there, and 30 minutes there. Okay. And when I'm doing that, I'm out trying to trim trees. I'm out trying to cut grass. I'm answering phone calls.
Because that's what you were hired to do.
Right. So you give me another person, and I don't have to go trim trees, or I don't have to do the go get a. I get a phone call because there's a zoning sign at Monclova and whatever, right? I can continue to do this, and we can move things forward. The problem is there's 8 hours in a day. There's one of me and 19,000 residents, right?
14,090.
So my point is, I'm pulled in 75 directions every day. I'm okay with that. I enjoy that.
Stretch Armstrong.
Right. Can I do more for you if I'm not out doing, like I fixed your bait on Plumbrook. It was David and I, and I went out and showed him how to do it, which is fine. But if I'm out there showing him how to do something, something else isn't getting done.
It is not my basement.
But you know what I'm talking about. I know. I actually put your name
in
it.
I just called because
Your name's in it? No. So my, I guess to answer your question is...
one was getting special treatment about this basin.
No. I'm glad you called because Torson was tired up. I'm just... It's not... Whatever. So anyhow, so by me going out there and spending an hour doing that, that takes an hour of me doing stuff like this. And to me, this stuff, like a silica dust control plant, is that important? Yeah, we don't have one.
What? And I thought your question was super important, Chuck. Are we, are special licenses and certificates appropriate and in place? And I'd like to hear back about that and how the plan is to grow it.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure hiring one person makes that happen.
It doesn't. It takes some things off my plate so I can, I think, better serve what I need to be doing. So to get us into compliance in some things, right? I don't really want to talk publicly about what some of them things are. But we're not there. So if I get us there by doing paperwork stuffs, that means I can't be out weed whacking cemetery. Do I mind weed whacking? No, but you can't have it both ways, and you kind of want that. I think everybody wants it both ways, right? Well, Ken wasn't out in the field doing a lot of weed whacking. There's a reason why. Because he was trying to get us where we needed to be on some things. I kind of... found some stuff, and that's what I've been working on. But if will a body help me get some of this stuff done? Yes. That's the short answer is yes. But multiple bodies, yeah, the more people, the better, right? That's not what I'm asking for. I'm not asking for 10 guys. I'm asking for 5. I'm asking for 1 right now. And I'm asking for it so we can get some breathing room and get some other things moving in the right direction. Part of the reason why the cemetery is in the order that it's in is because those guys have been pulled so many times in so many different directions. They cannot sit down and do what they need to do and get that straight down. And that's the truth of it. That answers your question, I hope.
It does, yeah. Harold, do you have anything else to add?
Not really.
Discussion done?
I have nothing further.
I move to approve the addition of one road maintenance worker to the maintenance department roster and authorize the administrator to advertise the open position in the Mirror on October 5th and October 12th.
Second.
Seconded by Herschel. On the motion, Herschel.
Yes.
Vickery.
Yes.
Lang.
Yes.
All right. And then you're going to get back to us with at least 2 more quotes for us on the tree trimming. All right. Harold, the guys have found a truck, potentially, huh?
We found a truck, yes. And this is kind of an important one. I probably should have put this first. because we've been trying for 3 years to buy a new truck for the cemetery, and it just isn't happening through cooperative purchasing because of COVID and who knows what all else. Doug did find a F-550 chassis at Baum and Auto Group that is available right now. And he shows them a gives them a purchase order number tomorrow, they'll send it over to Kaleida and get started on it. How long is it going to take them at Kaleida to?
The only thing they'll have to wait on is hydraulics, the hydraulic components to come in. Okay. So since we're speccing hydraulic over electric.
And this is just a bit more expensive than what we ordered in March.
Just, yeah, slightly more.
And that order goes away?
Yes.
It's gone anyways. It's not even
there. I move to approve $56,000 for the purchase of one 2023 Ford F-550 chassis from Bauman Auto Group per their September 5th quote. And I move to approve $32,500 for the purchase and installation of a galleon stainless steel dump package and hydraulics upgrade per the September 5th quote from Bauman Auto Group. It's tough.
Second.
Seconded by Herschel. On the motion, Vickery?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
The rest of my memo is information. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have about any of that information.
Just, I guess, Harold, have the lights been repaired at the pickleball courts for the 10 o'clock shutoff?
No, and actually, Doug asked, as far as the timer?
Yeah.
That's all taken care of.
Okay. It had been taken care of a long time ago.
There is one panel in one of the lights that's burned out, and Doug did ask that we wait until winter to have them come in and replace that so we don't have to tear up the lawn.
It's under warranty, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But, I mean, with the deputy, is he warning them sternly about playing after a... The park's closed.
He said that they were advised they could be charged with trespassing. So that seemed
what
to
work. What time were they there?
He didn't tell me. Okay. But it was after 10 o'clock.
And the ones who removed the tape and decided to...
it's just too much.
Can't make this stuff up.
Cemetery records. We had this discussion, which is near and dear to my heart, after losing my dad in June and seeing how well my mom had everything put together. And the cemetery records came to light because I purchased 4 cemeteries in Roth Cemetery, and it took Doug and I, taking away from Doug's valuable time, to try to figure out exactly who owned the lots next to the ones I was purchasing. Come to find out, after looking through tons of documents, we actually found out lot 1 and 3, there's people buried there. There's no markers, no identifications, just grass. So you would think those lots would be somehow marked that there's a casket down there. And there wasn't anything marked, but because of the records, we do know there's a right somebody in lot 1 and somebody else between Evelyn Brown. So we started digging into this to figure out, and we found out the deeds are scanned in, but they're 2 years behind on scanning. Harold has contacted somebody about scanning 20, 21, 22, 23. We're almost into 24. If those records were lost, they're gone. Except you'd have to go to a book. The Excel spreadsheet hasn't been updated since 2005, which means it's almost 20 years behind. We've got to try to do some sort of action or some sort of plan with these cemetery deeds. I know where I'm going. I've got my little plots all set. But,
the township needs to know where you're going or you won't get there. And it seemed to me that Harold had a plan in place via the information he provided. He has the company coming back, the nonprofit, will do it for free to remark and rescan.
No, they're just going to scan documents.
And he then asked about updating the Excel spreadsheet.
Who's going to update the Excel spreadsheet?
It says it right there. Right?
No.
Yeah.
We will ask Mr. Weber if they can update. If not, Doug will be done in-house over time. So Webers are going to voluntarily do Excel programs and put all this stuff in.
They created an Excel spreadsheet for Swan Creek when they scanned all that stuff. They did not do a spreadsheet for Roth. I'm not sure I understand why. Ken was coordinating all of that when they were in here. I don't know why they didn't. My thought process was We can ask them, can you create a spreadsheet for Roth as well? By the way, here, we've got a nice start for you already.
Okay. Have we heard back from these people?
Have you heard from them?
I'm thinking there would be no reason not to have somebody come in who is experienced in Excel, and I think I've mentioned a contractor, a part-time person to come in to get this process moving sooner than later. So I like to bring this back up at another meeting concerning maybe hiring a contract person who is experienced in Excel to come in and start to add this documents, because we're almost 20 years behind on this Excel spreadsheet.
Harold, can you show us the Swan Creek Excel spreadsheet in comparison to your 2005, so we also know what kind of product, free product we're getting?
Sure.
I haven't looked at the 2005 Excel spreadsheet.
Well, they haven't.
But you haven't looked at the Swan Creek that this company is. It's not a company. I'm not using the right term.
So they actually have an organization. Spreadsheet of lots, who's buried there, who's not buried there, everything. They have a whole Excel spreadsheet with all details.
What all information is on that spreadsheet, Doug? I don't...
Swan Creek is very similar to what you see on Roth, except for it's full. So it appears to be complete. So when they scanned in those deeds from way back when, whatever they have with Swan Creek, which a lot of their information seems to be from like Family Finder, those kind of things, the genealogy stuff, I think that's where a lot of that information came from. So when it's in an Excel sheet, it basically has their name, date of birth, date of death, and where they're at.
Yeah, it has actually more information than...
Yeah,
so with this is potentially a project you could spend some time with the addition of a maintenance person to take a couple things up for your...
No, absolutely, yeah. We shouldn't have to do that. If this organization can't do it, I am more than interested in completing the project.
Well, we've seen how far the free project has got us on the fire renovations over at the fire department. Remember Chuck's free person? It only took them for how many months to come back with our free estimate? So I'm just saying, why not hire somebody in? They can scan all the documents they want. I'm just saying, if you bring somebody in and their experience in the Excel, I'd like to bring it back up, a contracted person, then let's get this moving sooner than later. As far as I want to know who's buried and who's not buried in. Personally, and then I'll let the cemetery go until the next meeting. It would be nice to know... This guy was buried in 1976. There's probably no family around. It might be nice for it's the township's, cemeteries are part of the township. Buy a $200 little plaque and say, here lies so-and-so, so you know there's a casket down there and they're not out probing for caskets, which does happen. They probe no matter what to make sure, you know, that if there's somebody there or not there. You probe my lots, right? There's nobody buried in my four? Okay, we're good. So I'm just saying I'd like to revisit this because a lot of times the free seems that it doesn't happen within a time frame, and I think the cemetery records are very important to have right.
Harold, could you bring us and work with Doug and bring us a recommendation by the first meeting in November?
Sure.
We have executive session?
Yes, we do. All right.
Also, on the park master plan, I had actually mentioned to Harold that I would like to sit in on the park master plans as far as just to see what's going on and where it's moving to.
Well, he's just getting together with Ken.
Right.
Yerber, right?
I'd like to be there.
Right. That concludes our regular agenda. Is there any questions or comments from our public regards to the agenda tonight? Do either one of our fire department personnel want to give us a road trip summary in 30 seconds or less? Our truck is progressing.
We haven't gotten any updates on the truck yet, but they will be sending us weekly updates. Once
it's not like a time-lapse photography. You can watch this thing being built.
That's what they'll send us. They'll send us picture updates of
the ambulance. We got another vehicle coming. Any updates on that ambulance?
I have a meeting scheduled tomorrow with the salesperson so that we can finalize the list. have everything ready for be ready for presentation at the next meeting.
Yay. That's exciting.
We do have an executive session to discuss pending litigation. So if there's no other questions or comments, I'll make a motion to adjourn general session and move to executive session to discuss pending litigation.
Seconded by Lang. On the motion, Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
I do not anticipate any action items coming out of executive session. Do 6:35, I'll make a motion to return from executive session to general session. On the motion?
Seconded by?
Lang.
Lang. On the motion, Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Okay, we have no action items out of executive session, and I will make a motion to adjourn.
Second. On the motion, Lang?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes. Have a good evening.
Thanks,
Doug.
Huh?
7 more minutes and she wouldn't have to go to Waterville.
Oh, oh no! You should have told us that.
Is it on an iPad?
Yeah, well...
Why didn't you tell us?
Just let it run. We'll talk to you.